From Shaw and Partners, Andrew Kelleher, good morning.
Very good morning, Mike.
Now, this confidence thing, I don't know what to read into this. You know, you look at the May spending numbers, we spend more, but we're still miserable. And, you know, when it comes to jobs, we're about as miserable as we've ever been.
Yeah, I'm going to give you a wee take on this. I'm trying to promote the idea that a decent fall in the price of petrol at the pump should sort of spark a bit of a recovery vibe, because it went completely the opposite direction when petrol went up. Yeah. The problem we've got here is we're going to have to work through all of these second quarter numbers, which could be quite weak. And if you're prone to melancholy, I think there's going to be an awful lot of grist to your mill, because we're just going to get weak numbers. And so that we're going to have to lift ourselves. We're going to have to get out of our own way, actually, because these numbers could be quite weak. And one example did crystallise yesterday. This is the Westpac McDermott Miller Employment Confidence Index for the June quarter. Now, this data was collected in the first half of June. So we'd had March, April, May of global uncertainty, of elevated petrol prices. So we captured the whole Middle East effect in these numbers. And it wasn't great. The index fell 12.5 points to 83.1. It's the lowest reading for the survey since it began in 2004. So a memorable outcome for the wrong reasons. And keeping with the other sort of pessimistic outcomes we've had recently, the result was broad-based. We all got caught up in it. So this was all before the announcement of the interim agreement, the memorandum of understanding, and the subsequent fall in the price of oil. So let's just roll around in the misery for a little while, shall we? Looking into the detail, all of the sub-indexes were under pressure. So current conditions, current job opportunities, expected job opportunities, earnings growth, and job security, and across most regions as well. So Auckland, the Waikato, Gisborne, Hawke's Bay, they stood out as lacking in employment confidence. Taranaki, Nelson, Marlborough, they were shunning the full extent of the misery. Just looking at some of these numbers, so job opportunities, a useful leading indicator of near-term employment, was the weakest reading since the mid-2010s. 60% of respondents said it's hard to find a job. But look, in some aspects, Mike, this pain is real. Only 3% of households reported a rise in their earnings over the last year. That's also knocking on record lows, and job security, lowest levels since COVID. So look, in all seriousness, Mike, there is clear evidence of potential downside risks in the labour market. And some of the numbers you see in this thing were a little surprising, but I think we need to temper in response with context. Consumer confidence, employment confidence, they do seem to be heavily influenced by the petrol price and the global uncertainty. What I would say, though, Mike, is it puts us in quite a risky place. So we don't really want right now the people in charge of de-escalating this tension, of concluding the conflict, of getting a sustainable lower oil price. We don't want them to muck it up.
No, we do not.
We need this thing to end, and we need things to get back to normal.
But you are quite right in saying a little bit of it's on us, and we need to give ourselves an uppercut. Now, the PMIs, I noticed Australia's an interesting number, isn't it?
It is. So around the world, Mike, one of the important barometers of global economic health are these things called the PMIs that we talk about a lot. Just quickly explain, purchasing manager indexes, we get provisional numbers on a monthly basis. These are called the flash PMIs. It doesn't mean they're great, it just means they're quick. Then we subsequently get a final number, which generally released around the same time around the world. So Australia yesterday, manufacturing sector did see an acceleration in growth. It was a 51.2 from 50.7. So we sort of get output stabilized. But you look in the background, new orders are less positive. As new business decreased over the month. So new orders are on a bit of a downward trend. So you've got to keep an eye on that. Composite index 49.8. Services sector 49.9 drifted into contraction. So a mixed number there. Japan, though, composite index 52.5, previous 51.1. Good lift, fastest pace in 3 months. There is a little bit of concern in the background about supply chain disruptions. But overnight, Mike, the important US announcement, manufacturing 55.7, up and better than expected. The services sector, not quite as frothy, 51.3 there. Your composite index, 52.2. Interesting detail, Mike, and you've literally just mentioned this. You're getting these strong manufacturing numbers, but the employment numbers inside maybe steepest drop since 2020. So people are doing this, but headcount is dropping. And you can only conclude that that's things like AI and cost control in the background.
Market's interesting. Give us some numbers.
Oh, mate, they're fascinating. So look, what we've got here, actually, very quickly, semiconductors down. Now, you've got to remember, these things rallied the boots off over a number of months. So they're really just giving back some of the crazy gains. But the Dow Jones is actually up 39 points, 51,753. But the S&P 500 down 1%, 84.47388. And the Nasdaq's being hit by the semiconductor slide, down 1.8%, 472 points, 25,693. FTSE 100 yesterday dropped 9 points, 10,428. The Nikkei Asia under a lot of pressure yesterday. Nikkei down 2,565 points, 3.5%, 69,788. The Korean market got absolutely smashed. One of the indexes there down 10%. That's the semiconductors again. Shanghai Composite down 1.37%, 4,106. The Aussies yesterday lost a third of a percent, 29.8786. And we barely moved yesterday, down 10 points, 13,435. The fun continues in the currencies, Mike. One Kiwi dollar at the moment will only buy you 0.5667 US. So we have slumped to one of the lowest points we've seen in the last few months. 0.8196 against the Aussie, 0.4980 euro, 0.4297 pounds, 91.55 Japanese yen. Gold, 4,128, and you were talking about Brent crude.
Yeah.
It's at $77.20. It's still about 10% above where it was when we went into the war.
See you tomorrow, Andrew Kelleher, Shaw and Partners.